This is Glenn Hauser with the World of Radio, 1918. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded February 20th, Australia, Bougainville, Brazil, Canada, Cuba, Czechia, Ethiopia, Europe, Germany, Guantanamo Bay, International Internet and Vacuum, Iran, Italy, Korea South, New Zealand, Pakistan, Papua New Guinea, Romania, Russia, South Carolina, Taiwan, Uganda, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Ron Howard at Asilomar State Beach, California reports. On the low-power private Australian station on 5055 radio 4KZ. He says on Saturday, February 17th, he was hearing it at 11:07 with music and promos or ads, almost readable, an improved signal, but also stronger than usual interference from China on 5050. However, rechecked at 12:55, it was off the air. Weekdays, they had recently been closing at 14:05 UT, give or take a minute or two. And on Sunday, February 18th, they were back to the usual schedule, closing down at 14:02. Moving on to Bougainville, Ron Howard also reports NBC on 3325, February 15th, reception well above the norm, from 11:13 until cutoff at 11:55. At first, there was an interesting speech in English about different issues voters need to consider when they vote next year on the Bougainville Independence Referendum for Autonomy, comparing many different islands. The other PNG station, 3260 NBC Madang, the same date, cut off the air at 12:11. If you must try to fool everyone, requiring everyone to mess with their clocks for daylight shifting time, it is not saving, and it is certainly not savings. Try to keep it as brief as possible. That's what they do in Brazil, already ending their summertime in the southern hemisphere as of February 18th. The eastern areas, which had been observing it, go back to UT-3 instead of UT-2. Before then, on February 15th, I was listening to A Voz do Brasil on 11780, which during DST there has been running at 21 to 22 UT on weekdays. And I figured come Monday, it should be 1 hour later, and thus the transmitter may stay on the air 1 hour later, since it had been cutting off abruptly as if on a timer at 2200 before the program was completely finished. And indeed, that's exactly what I found when I monitored on February 19th. The program now before 22 UT in that hour is called Report from the Amazon in Portuguese, and then A Voz do Brasil starts at 22, presumably lasting one more hour until 23. So the date Brazil ends DST would be equivalent in the Northern Hemisphere to our ending it as early as mid-August. Not a bad idea. A while back, we had news that one of the old Radio Canada International transmitters at Sackville, New Brunswick was for sale, no longer usable, but as an antique. And now, a story from CBC New Brunswick via Gerald T. Pollard, Artie Bigley, and Mike Barraclough follows up on that. Bill Steele is a collector of odd things. He bought the site of the last double hanging in New Brunswick. His latest purchase is less morbid, but also a rare find, a massive 1940 shortwave transmitter that once broadcast Canada's stories around the world. The transmitter was installed around the end of World War II and used until the 1970s. The site, of course, was decommissioned. The transmitter, 50 kilowatts, was 5 meters long and 2.5 meters wide. Steele has moved it to what was once a jail at Dorchester, New Brunswick. The jail is now a gym and a bed and breakfast, soon to have a major attraction, that old RCI transmitter. As of February 20th, since February 14th, I've noticed that the panoply of FM spur blobs coming out of the Radio Vana Cuba 15370 transmitter between 14 and 16 UT all over the 19-meter band has diminished little by little. They were getting harder and harder to hear until finally we're not hearing them at all, and we hope very much it stays that way. Meanwhile, and I wonder if this is related, Arnie Coro has recovered sufficiently from surgery to resume his English and Spanish DX programs on Radio Havana, Cuba, I've been hearing, and I've noticed that the content is very similar. No doubt the convergence is to be expected now that they're both run by the same person. But something is always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. One example, UT Monday, February 19th, the evening English broadcast, North America on 6165 after 02UT, was instead in Spanish, although very undermodulated, and that was continuing to be the case past 0600, when 6060 was also in Spanish instead of English as it is supposed to be at that hour. In Rusty X, Igor Kolka in Moscow and Dmitry Ilagin in Saratov both report QSLs from Radio Prague, Czechia, the Russian service. At least one of them was listening to it online, since, of course, it is no longer on shortwave direct from that country. The current QSL card, in January at least, had an image of the Blattner phone, a sound recording device which was the predecessor of the tape recorder. Their 2018 series of QSL cards is about radio engineering. Of course, thanks to WRMI, we may still hear Radio Prague on shortwave. The English broadcasts are currently scheduled daily except Sunday at 13 UT on 9955, 0230 on 7780, and repeated at 0300 on 9395. Ron Howard continues monitoring the new clandestine for Ethiopia, Radio OMN Oromia Media Network, at 16 UT on 11575 via Bulgaria. On February 14th, he says, was today a clever ploy to fool the folks jamming from Ethiopia? If so, it worked. Signing out at 1600 instead of Radio OMN programming, the jammers in Ethiopia instead heard Dr. Terry Allen Cooper, a forensic psychologist, being interviewed in English about solitary confinement. So the jammers must have assumed Radio OMN was not on the air today and left, whereas later, by 1609, Radio OMN programming had started up in vernacular with many IDs, but no jamming heard at all until I tuned away at 1618. Furthermore, the other frequency where they started out nearby 11600 continued to be off the air as of February 14th. No jamming either. A tribute to the late Tom Taylor, or Barry Stevens, of European Music Radio has been aired a number of times, including on WBCQ, UT Tuesday, February 20th at 0200, extended the 7490 transmission for 1 hour. If you still have not heard it, Alfredo Cotroneo tells us that his IRRS has scheduled many more broadcasts, most of them on streaming, some on medium wave 846, but also some via the shortwave relays in Romania, I think. The times for those are Friday, February 23rd at 19 UT on 7290, Saturday, February 24th at 09 UT on 9510, and Sunday, February 25th at 12 UT on 9510. Kai Ludwig in Germany quotes a report from the Bundestag about Deutsche Welle's performance and strategy. DW says they took English and French off shortwave due to a great decline in usage. For remaining services, the further development will be monitored and, if necessary, action taken. Following figures of weekly reach have been revealed. Amharic, 25% in 2007, declining to 5% in 2014. They add that this is still more than VOA's Amharic with 3% in 2014. I'm not sure percent of what they are referring to. As for Dari and Pashto languages of Afghanistan, in 2013, 9 and 8%, in 2016, 1 and 2%. Deutsche Welle adds that other broadcasters saw just a reduction by 30% to 50%, and not such a collapse because they have more FM outlets in Afghanistan. DW says its Arabic service is of great importance due to the predominance of the Anglo-American perspective. Further plans, more engagement in the USA, quote, due to already existing and to be expected further conflicts in transatlantic relations, unquote. If they get sufficient funding, launching a TV channel for Turkey, where they expect a possible need for circumvention tools in the future, and language services in Yoruba, Igbo, African Pidgin, Somali, Kurdish, and Tamil. In IRCA DX Monitor, Bruce Portzer publishes details of his reception during a Caribbean cruise in late January. And here's just one item of particular interest about Guantanamo Bay. AFN 1340 is alive and well. It had a fair-to-poor daytime signal as we cruised past the northeast corner of Cuba, and local-like by the time we passed the eastern tip of the island on January 29th. But he says, I never heard it after that. Mid to late morning programming was adult hits parallel to FM and sounding live and local, identifying as 102.1 The Eagle. Afternoons were U.S. talk shows with IDs as The Voice and switching to NPR at 5 p.m. local time. That's once known, I don't suppose they're still using the call sign WGBY, on 1340, which means it's almost impossible to hear back in the mainland with hundreds of stations on the same frequency. I received this comment from Lynn Robertson, KJ6EF in California, about an absence of English services on Internet. As an old-time shortwave listener in ham, I was appalled to see the decline of shortwave broadcasting, the raising of the urban noise floor, and such. But now it looks like all these Scandinavian countries and some others not only dropped their shortwave broadcasting, they have no Internet radio programs in English either. What gives? Turning inward culturally? I thought the Internet was supposed to be bringing people together. Or have the penny pinchers invaded those countries too? Or does just no one give a fig what we think of them anymore? Yes, I've been away from it all for a while, and upon my return, things look worse. I replied, Lynn, yes, it is unfortunate. I don't know where you have looked, but you might find something here, not necessarily from the national broadcasters, at www.publicradiofan.com or at the World of Radio hit list, w4uvh.net/hitlist.htm. Also under the heading of International Internet and the Vacuum, Mike Terry sends a story which was processed, among others, by the so-called NBC2 in Florida. SpaceX to launch demonstration satellites for high-speed Internet project. SpaceX wants to deliver high-speed Internet to the world using thousands of small satellites, and that plan is moving closer to reality. The company was slated to launch a rocket from Vandenberg Air Force Base at 6:17 a.m. local time on February 21st. On board, two experimental satellites that will test out the technology SpaceX plans to use for its Internet service. It has the blessing of the FCC to send up the test satellites. The plan is to deliver broadband services directly to people anywhere in the U.S. or around the world at speeds similar to some of the quickest ground-based Internet connections. Wall Street Journal reported that the satellite Internet business would have over 40 mega subscribers and bring in more than 30 gigadollars in revenue by 2025, according to projections by SpaceX. The International Vacuum, Internet, AM, FM, and shortwave, World of Radio 1918. Also bringing you worldofradio.com, via which you may access a weekly issue of DX Listening Digest, upon which World of Radio is based. Our thanks this week for voluntary financial support for these non-commercial enterprises from Mike Bew, BEU, in Austin, Texas, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WRADIO@yahoo.com. He says, really appreciate the great radio-related information you provide throughout the year. One may also contribute by money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 7702. Walt Samaniv in BC wonders, when did the voice of justice cease to North America from Iran? Or perhaps it's still available online. That was the English Hour, the only one to North America, different from the other English Hours, which was at 0320 to 0420 UT on a couple of shortwave frequencies. But along with many other broadcasts from the Kamalabad site, it was suspended, I think, a couple of years ago. So does it still exist? Well, I looked up the website and found that transmission is still listed. However, they say it's only available on internet and satellite. I tried a number of ways to hear it online and never got a connection. But Ken Zicke in Michigan, who does some satellite monitoring, says, regarding the Voice of Justice, it appears to be suffering from the dwindles, as so many stations do before they disappear. What about satellite transmissions? In North America, they were on 97 degrees west, Galaxy 19, at 12184 horizontal, 22,000 MSPS. But he says the last couple of times I tried to find Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, they have not been there. I don't know if they changed transponders, went off the bird completely, or have just been having issues with it. Their signal was always pretty close to falling off the digital cliff. Admittedly, nothing in English from Rai, of course. In fact, nothing on shortwave anymore. But there is the Italian Broadcasting Corporation, which is private, IBC, which does have some transmissions via WRMI. Mike Terry forwards a report from Saverio Mazzetti on WRTH about their other broadcast, 5845, every Wednesday from Gavar, Armenia, with 100 kilowatts at 19 to 20 UT in Italian, and English from 20 to 2030 with Italian shortwave panorama and 425 DX News. The last 5 minutes are IBC Digital in MFSK 32 at 1500 hertz. Takahito Akabayashi in Tokyo sends info about the South Korean meteorological radio station HLL2 of the Korea Meteorological Administration. He got a printed QSL card for a reception report in English, including a 1,000 won note, equal about 90 cents U.S. It took 2 months. Their official frequency is 5857.5 kilohertz USB, call sign Hotel Lima Lima Figure 2, for voice information. They broadcast wind direction, velocity, wave height for today, tomorrow, and the day after in marine areas around the Korean Peninsula from 0 to 40 minutes past every hour in Korean, English, and Japanese and Chinese for about 10 minutes each. The transmitter is Korean made of 5 kilowatts with an 18-meter cage antenna at Gimpo, west of Seoul. Their website says nothing about this, however, www.kma.go.kr. Radio New Zealand has the good taste to carry a number of programs from public radio in the United States, which is more than can be said for U.S. shortwave stations. Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener in Germany reports on one of those. It's the Retro Cocktail Hour, originating with KPR, Kansas Public Radio. It's carried on RNZI 9765, Sundays at 10:05 UT, an hour of music that's shaken, not stirred, every week from the underground Martini Bunker at KPR. You're very lucky if you can ever catch Radio Pakistan broadcasting on shortwave, but Hans-Jörg Biener in Germany carried out a monitoring project of Pakistan streaming. There are links to 10 audio streams at their website, www.radio.gov.pk, /live-streaming. But these are only active when the stations are active, resulting in many hours of silence during the day on a particular channel. For former shortwave listeners of Radio Pakistan, two streams are of interest, the World Service and the External Service. The channel monitored was left running even when there was no program feed. Audio on the World and External Service channels is now very good, but the worn-out recordings of the interval signal and the national anthem are still used. He says, I was unable to establish full schedule, Both did not always match the former shortwave schedule and the internet schedule I monitored last April. However, the 4 p.m. news in English at 1100 UT, following the Urdu World Service program, was reconfirmed during this monitoring. WRTH mentions home service news in English at several times, UT 03, 08, 11, 13, 16, and 17. Papua New Guinea hears more about NBC Madang 3260 from Ron Howard in California. Very interesting reception, February 17th from 1127 till cut off about 1236. It was better than normal and running much longer than usual, which helped reception. A fairly clear ID at 1157 for NBC Madang Maus Blong Garamut. A garamut in pidgin is a hollowed log slit drum. They played some CNW songs and Murray and a selection of garamut music. Artie Bigley forwards a story from RNZ News, February 15th, Papua New Guinea government to extend public radio services. The communications minister, Sam Basil, says he plans to grow the radio services. He was marking World Radio Day by saying radio is a medium that reaches the widest audience, including vulnerable communities in remote parts of the country. He has announced that medium and shortwave services of the state broadcaster NBC will be restored, and that the corporation will migrate from analog to digital technology. He said new stations will be opened in Jiwaka and Hela, and that a new NBC headquarters will be built. Does he really mean they're going to bother to reactivate shortwave and medium wave transmitters and then make them DRM or IBOC instead of analog? I hope that's not what was implied. That would be an exercise in futility. Speaking of DRM, Ken Zicke in Michigan was trying to listen to Radio Romania International's English broadcast at 23 UT, February 10th, on 5980, which is blocking Radio Chasqui, Peru. He says it was varying from 13 dB signal-to-noise ratio and not decoding up to 16 dB and decoding well. About 15 minutes of audio were produced from the first half hour of the broadcast, so not really listenable but easily identifiable, and there was a good 10 minutes that actually did decode well enough to follow. Ron Howard again reports that rare shortwave reactivation from Russia on 5940, Radio Rossi from the Kamchatka Peninsula. February 14th from 0240 to sign off at 0300, very poor reception, and there was interference from probably IBRA radio via the UAE. But I did hear definite IDs for Radio Rossi before and after the time pips at 0300. Dmitry Medzin in Russia replies, yes, this activity is likely related to the 18 March presidential elections, so it will be no more after that date. Ron Howard also heard this on February 13th and 15th, but no signal on Saturday the 17th, presumably off the air weekends. Brother Scare now claims to be on two WBCQ transmitters 24 hours a day, 5130 and 9330. Well, not exactly. Our monitoring confirms that the previously scheduled programming on both frequencies continues. BS merely fills in the rest of the time. So World of Radio is still heard on 9330 variable at midnight 30 UT, except Saturdays 2 hours earlier, 22:30. Dave France of WWRB notified us February 18th. We are pleased to alert shortwave listeners that Radio Monansi will return to WWRB weekends on 15240, 100 kilowatts during the afternoons Eastern Time, exact times to be determined. It was not on the air quite yet that day, but check Saturdays and Sundays between roughly 16 and 19 or 20 UT. We last heard it over a year ago. Perhaps it's being reactivated thanks to the political situation in Uganda. Info about it was in the clandestine pages of the WRTH 2017, but not 2018. More comments from Kai Ludwig in Germany, who has actually read the proposed fiscal year 2019 budget of BBG. The matter of VOA Spanish is remarkable. Last year, the plan was to widely abandon Latin America as a target. Now a turnaround, extending activities to Venezuela. El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua are now considered important target areas. And it seems that now VOA and not Radio Martí is considered the primary provider of Spanish language content. Last year, they also planned to scale back Radio Fardá, now just weasel wording about optimization, and of course nothing about closing Radio Machal anymore. Most remarkable, it describes the situation at Radio Free Asia as if its Mandarin broadcasts are already gone. There's a budget for reusing the office space of this closed service, while in fact it is still on the air, or am I hearing ghosts? Could closing Poro refer to the shortwave plant in the Philippines known as Tinang, or do they indeed mean the Poro station as an alternative fact? And the Middle East, nothing less than shutting down Radio Sawa, with broadcasts to Iraq being the only exception. This news seems to be widely considered a bombshell. And for what purpose? An antenna maintenance at Cyprus when they plan to shut it down anyway, the left hand not knowing what the right one is doing? I see a survey at WRMI-FB put up by Frecuencia al Día, which says that Radio Taiwan International will be terminating its shortwave broadcast in Spanish and all other languages as of April, leaving WRMI an orphan. Which international station should take its place on the Okeechobee station? Three of them are suggested: Spain, Indonesia, and South Korea, or write in something else. Here's a fine example of interstation generosity and cooperation. John Carver heard Alan Weiner announce on Worldwide February 10th that Jeff White of WRMI has donated a 50,000-watt transmitter to WBCQ. It's sitting on a trailer at Alan's house in Florida, and he'll be taking it to the station in the spring. It'll have to be completely rebuilt, so it'll be a while before it's ready to go on the air. I wonder if that's the original WRMI transmitter, the Wilkinson, which started out with Radio Clarín in the Dominican Republic. Despite no advance publicity, I ran across a new program on WBCQ Saturday, February 17th at 22 to 23 on 7490. It's called Radio New Music. You can read all about it at the website by that name. Not clear whether it's to be on the air every week, but if so, there will be good music programs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday during that hour on 7490. Alan Weiner also sent us a news release, which, among other things, says WBCQ has been voted many times the best shortwave station in the world by millions of its listeners worldwide. And the best is yet to come. Big things are afoot at the station that will change the course of radio for years to come. Dave France of WWRB has also sent out publicity. We are building a new programming lineup on weekends, expanding to Monday as necessary. We are not interested in Gold Dealers or Save America or PAY Triot programming, just great music and interesting programming worth listening to of various topics. All religions welcomed. The propagation outlook from Boulder: geomagnetic field, mostly quiet to unsettled. ANK indices mostly 5 and 2, no higher than 8 and 3, all the way until March 14th, 10 and 4, rising to 16 and 4 on the 17th. Solar flux 70 February 26th up to 76 between March 1st and 12th. That's World of Radio 1918. Glenn Hauser inviting you back next week.